Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That's not Wild Card Wednesday, correct, Dan?
Well, if we need it to be Wild Card Wednesday, I will put it in for Wild Card Wednesday.
Oh, okay. But we do have Wild Card Wednesday. If you guys want to jump in here, pick the song, any artist, whatever, it's Wild Card Wednesday for bumps. And also, if you want to text in your TV questions for Dan Feinberg, he'll be on tomorrow. We'll take your questions and print them up and then ask him tomorrow morning when he's here. We don't always get to the phones, but we'll try to get to as many of the questions as we can. So text them in, any and all TV questions, at 312-981-72. Now, the reason that it was played in addition to it being Wild Card Wednesday is that in front of me, I have a list of things, 35 things that turned 35 in 2016. And one of those things that turned 35 in this year will be Beyoncé Knowles. Beyoncé, on September 4th, she was born in Houston, Texas in 1981. She went on to become the lead singer of Destiny's Child. 2003, when Destiny's Child was on hiatus, she decided to release Dangerously in Love. Now, is that what that is that from that album? That uh-oh song?
That was Crazy in Love.
Oh, that's Crazy in Love. But Dangerously in Love is different?
It's from that album.
Oh, it's from that album. But that's Crazy in Love.
In Love.
Okay. Debuted number one and established her successful solo artist. And then here's the other one. All of Destiny's Child turns 35. So Kelly Rowland and the other one. Whose name is Latavia Roberson?
No.
No?
Well, she was. But she's not in the one that when they broke up.
Oh.
That wasn't her. It's Michelle Williams.
Oh. Okay. Michelle Williams?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
She was, she hasn't really done much that's too big.
We're not talking about the Michelle Williams from Blue Valentine.
No.
No.
She did some gospel records. She was in a, Fela, that musical, but
Now Kelly Rowland, she was in the Freddy versus Jason movie, right?
Yeah,
I love that movie, and I loved her in that movie. What else is she? She's pretty popular. People know who she is, right? Did she continue a solo? She didn't do a solo career, right?
She did. Yeah,
but I know she acted. I know I've seen. I know her more for her acting because I don't listen to Destiny's Child or their children. So I don't know. But anyway, Beyonce turns 35. This year. So that's what we're going to be talking about. 35 things that turned 35 in 2016. Things from basically from 1981. If you can, I got to sneeze. Hold on a minute. Oh, man, I hate that. I hate that. Isn't that the worst? Like, it's right there. It's on the brink of my face. All right. You're supposed to look at a light, right? It didn't help.
I have heard that.
No, that didn't help, except now I see a spot before my eyes. That's fantastic. Now I feel like I'm sneezing and I see spots before my eyes. What am I, 90? All right, hi. So we're going to talk about 35 things that turned 35 in 2016, reminisce a little bit about that, and talk about how we all feel very old. Before we jump into that, I do want to mention that my next film club event is 33 years old. So, the movie that I'm showing is 33 years old. And it is definite. It is Tuesday, May 3rd. And I am showing Risky Business, which is my second favorite movie of all time. And was my favorite movie of all time from the moment I saw it till when I saw Magnolia. And then that became my favorite movie of all time. But right nipping at the heels of Magnolia is one of the most important movies I've ever seen in my life, and it's Risky Business. And I am screening it Tuesday, May 3rd, this coming Tuesday. You can get your tickets now. Tickets are available now at MovieCo.com, M-U-V-I-C-O, M-U-V-I-C-O, MovieCo.com. And it's only $10 to get in, and parking is free. The MovieCo Theater is in Rosemont, very easy to get to, right off the expressway. If you don't want to drive, you can take the Blue Line. The Rosemont stop is a 5-minute walk from the front door of the MovieCo Theater. It's a beautiful theater. We're up on the second floor. We'll have dinner beforehand around 6:30, 7 o'clock. You guys can show up. I'll talk to everybody. We'll have some dinner. We'll hang out. And then the movie begins at 8 in the beautiful Premier Theater with state-of-the-art projection, sound, beautiful big screen, incredible giant love seats to sit on. Esmeralda, you were there. You have more leg room at home.
It was amazing.
And the food is good, and you can have cocktails during the movie. It's all around good time, and I'm particularly excited about this one. I mean, I'm always excited each month because I get to pick the movies. But this one's really special. This movie means a lot to me, and it's a film that I've seen a million times and I've studied. I think it's one of the most important American films ever made. Certainly the best movie of the 80s, without question. And I think one of the most significant and deepest satires about America, about materialism, and about the 80s ever made. And it was a film that came out in 1983. It was shot in 1982, released in 1983, and it says more right on things about that decade than any movie ever made. The writer-director is a guy named Paul Brickman, who only went on to direct one more movie, which was also a masterpiece called Men Don't Leave with Jessica Lange, which unfortunately is not available on DVD for some ridiculous reason. He had such a bad time making movies and dealing with the studio system that those are the only two movies this guy has ever directed. They're both two of the most extraordinary films I've ever seen. And he just hated the business, and he just ducked out, man. He pulled a Johnny Carson, man, because when he left like Carson. Well, Carson showed up on The Simpsons because that's how cool The Simpsons were. And he showed up on Letterman one time. Like, he walked out on Letterman, sat behind Letterman's desk. Everybody went nuts. He got up and left, didn't say a word, because he's Johnny Carson, man. The king. So anyway, Brickman left the business, and he's left behind two amazing movies. One, I think, is one of the most important American films ever made, and that's Risky Business. It is not simply a TNA movie. It is not simply, a wacky coming-of-age comedy. That's not what it is at all. That's what everybody thought it was going to be. That's what I thought it was going to be when I went to see it in 1983. You have to understand, in the summer of 1983, you know, those kind of teenage TNA movies, they were everywhere in the 80s. Everywhere. When I went to high school, there was like two or three a week that would come out. You know, from Porky's to Spring Bake to Hard Bodies. It was nonstop teen comedy TNA. So by the, you know, when they released Risky Business, I just thought, okay, it's another one of these movies, because the trailer's like, oh, look, there's prostitutes in the house, and the Porsche falls into the lake. Wacky! And that's not what this movie's about at all. It is about the corruption of an innocent and how that was widespread in the 80s. That's what the movie's about, man. And it ends on a very bitter note, and one that is kind of astounding. Blew me away the first time I saw it. I was 18. I was the age of the character in the movie. I was the summer between my high school and college experience. And that's what the movie is. And it just deeply, deeply affected me. I know a lot about this movie. As you can tell, I'm rambling right now. There are a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff I'm going to tell you about, and I will give you my interpretation of almost every scene of this movie, because I think there is significant symbolism in pretty much every scene of the film. It's an important work of art and one of the best American films ever made, and I'm very excited. So I really want to pack the place for Tuesday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. So come on out Tuesday, May 3rd. Go to MovieCo.com, MUVICO, right now. Reserve your seats. Click the seats that you want on the seating chart. They'll be waiting for you on Tuesday night. We'll meet at Bogart's on the second floor, have some food in the restaurant, have a couple of drinks if you guys want, and then we'll go into the theater. I'll introduce the movie at 8 o'clock. We'll watch Risky Business digitally restored. It's going to look beautiful. And then I'll talk about it, and we will discuss it afterwards. This is a real important one for me. I'm very excited about this one. So Risky Business, Tuesday, May 3rd. Get your tickets right now at MovieCo.com, MUVICO. All right. Oh, man. So 35 things that turn 35. How about this one? Now, we all love this. MTV in August turns 35. August 1st, 1981, MTV debuted. And do you guys remember? I'm sure you guys all know the first video that was ever on, that was ever aired on MTV.
Yes.
It's Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. That was the very first video that they played. Now, do you know what the next ones were? I have the next three that were played right after Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, which everybody knows because it's historic, the very first video ever played. Do you guys know what the next ones are?
I'm going to guess Rod Stewart, because I had read something like when they started, there was like 180 videos and 35 of them were Rod Stewart.
Yeah. And Rod Stewart was third. He was the third. It was She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart, which, by the way, not even a hit. Not even a hit. And then, but the second one, and I love this, man. The second video ever shown on MTV, You Better Run by Pat Benatar. Pat Benatar rules. And then You Better You Bet by The Who. So the first four videos were Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles, You Better Run by Pat Benatar, She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart, and You Better You Bet by The Who. Boy, they like the You Better songs. Evidently, that first day on MTV. Can you guys name all five of the original VJs? I know this is before your time because you guys weren't even born in 81, but Dan, you weren't born in 81, were you?
November of 81.
That's right. So you're gonna be 35 this year.
I will be 35.
Oh, yeah. Dan Shugru,
yeah.
35.
Yeah,
man, it's a good age. I don't remember much of it. I turned 35 in the year 2000. How about that? Okay, so, but now do you remember? Because, I mean, you were obviously way too young to remember the five original VJs.
Right.
But, I mean, historically. Well, you know, we've had one on the show.
Right. Nina.
Nina Blackwood, right?
JJ.
JJ, yeah, man. JJ Jackson.
Alan Hunter.
That's right, Alan Hunter.
One
was a morning guy on Q101 here for a while.
Mark something.
Yep.
Berated by David Bowie.
Right.
I don't remember his last
Goodman.
Name. Goodman.
Yep.
And then the girl next door.
Martha Quinn, man. Don't forget Martha Quinn. She was adorable. I loved Martha Quinn. I had a massive crush on Martha Quinn.
Who was the one that looked like Oates, but without the mustache?
Okay, that's Alan Curry. He was not an original.
Oh.
He came on the second wave. The five original VJs are Mark Goodman, who, by the way, is a douche.
I think Mark Goodman could apply to what she's thinking of, though, with the curly hair.
So you said Oates, right?
Wait, which one's the one? I always get him confused.
Oates is the mustache.
Yeah, mustache.
But that's Mark Goodman. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Daryl Hall, because Daryl Hall had the... Remember, what's his name? Adam Curry had that crazy hair.
He did. He was the rocker.
Yeah. Right? He was the first host of Headbangers Ball, that guy. If you could believe that, that idiot hosted Headbangers. He had the same stupid hair. They put a leather jacket on him, and he introduced Accept videos. And here's Saxon followed by Slayer. Idiot. All right, hold on. We got a break here. 35 things that turned 35 in 2016. Top of this list, Dan Shugru, everybody.
Aw, thanks.
Tequila.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but how do you not picture Pee Wee Herman when you hear this song? That's, you know, I just don't think of anything except Pee Wee with the giant wood shoes on. Dancing on the bar for the biker gang. Fantastic. Oh, God, he's the king. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, and we're talking about 35 things that turned 35 in 2016. Who were some of the other, because MTV is number one on the list here, of things that turned 35. August 1st, 1981, MTV hit the airwave. We were talking about the first five original VJs. Who were some of the other VJs? There was Downtown Julie Brown, who would do the Wubba Wubba Wubba, and she hosted Club MTV. Who else was there? Adam Curry. There was that the cute girl with the, she had really long curly hair. Oh, man. And she was right around that 85, 86. Oh, man. Well, we had Allison Stewart on the show. When I filled in for Cochran, Allison Stewart, who was a news anchor, who was essentially her and Tabitha Soren were the two go-tos for politics when MTV started to get into the politics, where they really jumped in the 92 election when Clinton was elected. And I really think that MTV made a big impact on getting younger voters interested in the political process. And I think MTV made an impact on that election. I really do.
And asking Bill Clinton about his underwear.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And Allison Stewart, by the way, was just such a lovely guest. She was such a great guest. I love talking to her. She's got a book out called Junk. And it's about America's obsession with having all kinds of junk and saving it, what to do with it. It is a really, really terrific. Alison Stewart wrote it. It's called Junk. But I can't remember who the other girl was. Who were some of the other?
I can't remember any of them.
Kurt Loder was your dude.
Right.
Okay, he was your news dude. He was the guy you took real seriously.
There's another guy. He usually did
Chris
movies.
Connolly.
Yeah.
Chris Connolly. Right.
No, there was another one.
Well, Chris Connolly was the new movie guy. And then he did more. He's still around. Chris Connolly, what's he working on now?
I think he's part of ABC.
He is. He's part of like Good Morning America, I think. But there were a few more.
I don't know. For me, it was Dan Cortez and Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, right.
There you go.
Daisy Fuentes. Oh.
She just married, who's the dude's dad who sings,
Robin Thicke?
No. Blackhawks. Here Come the Blackhawks.
Richard Marks?
She just married Richard Marks.
What? Wait a minute. What? How does Richard Marks? Do you remember Cynthia Rhodes?
No.
Why don't you look up Cynthia Rhodes? Look up Cynthia Rhodes. Richard Marks was with her, too. He married her. How does Richard Marks? How is that possible?
He puts out the jams.
His dad put out the ultimate jam. I don't know if you know this or not, Esmeralda. But Richard Marks' dad wrote this. Yeah.
I dig that song a lot.
It's the best sports team song ever written.
I still love it.
To this day, by far the best sports team song ever written. Richard Marx's father, Dick, wrote it.
By the way, I was thinking of John Norris.
Oh, John Norris. He was another serious kind of a news dude.
But he always did he did movie stuff, I think.
What about Matt Pinfield?
Oh, he was.
He was to 120 Minutes.
Right.
Well, who was the original host of 120 Minutes?
Kennedy.
Was Kennedy the original host?
Was it?
Wow. Why? And see, now all the names are coming back to me now, except for the one girl I can't think of. She was adorable. I can't.
120 Minutes hosts includes Dave Kendall, Louis Largent, Matt Pinfield, and Jim Shearer.
Okay, then.
Really? No, she did Alternative Nation.
Oh, that's right. She did Alternative Nation.
With the toilet. I remember because what was it called? Liquid Television would end, and then Alternative Nation would start, and it would freak me out.
It would freak you out. You had to change the channel. All right, we got a break. We're talking about 35 things that turned 35. If anybody can remember the name of that second wave, very cute, curly-haired, she had blondish-brown hair. But it was curly and long, and she was like one of the second waivers on MTV. If you can remember, it's going to drive me nuts. We got a break here. News is coming up next on WGN. Yeah. Wildcard Wednesday, man. Yeah, Wildcard Wednesday. 262 area code requested Bubble Toes by Jack Johnson. Did you guys ever see that sketch they did on SNL? It was like the Jack Johnson TV. It was a Jack Johnson talk show, and it was Seth Meyers was Jack Johnson, and then they had somebody play Dave Matthews. I can't remember who it was, and I think John Mayer. Somebody played John Mayer, and they were all like they were all just like it was all laid back. They wore puka shells, they were barefoot, and everybody had a guitar, and it was like the laid back like Jack Johnson or maybe Jack Johnson talk show, and Dave Matthews was the actual music guest that night, the musical guest, and he came out and did Ozzy. And scared all the guys. Like he scared Dave. The guy playing Dave Matthews got scared because Dave Matthews came out playing Ozzy. I've only seen that I think maybe twice. And I've seen every Saturday Night Live like a billion times. I don't even know if that's still out there somewhere. But if you Google Dave Matthews as Ozzy Osbourne, maybe the sketch will pop up. But it was just and Dave did a great Ozzy. He did a great Ozzy. And that was like at the time when it's available. Oh, is it called the Jack Johnson Show?
The Mellow Show.
The Mellow Show. That was so funny. Oh, man. Does it say who played Dave?
It looks like it might be Hader.
That makes sense, yeah. Because Seth Meyers played Jack Johnson, if I remember correctly. And then Hader played Dave Matthews, and Dave Matthews played Ozzy. It was the Mellow Show. It's fantastic. All right, now I'm looking at this list of the VJs, and none of the names ring a bell to me. When the picturing the woman and the names, and then they're not coming together.
I don't think she exists.
I'm telling you, she existed.
Is this the MTV in your mind?
No, I met her. There used to be, you know what? Do you know what the Vic Theater used to be in the 80s, by the way? Do you guys know what the Vic Theater was in the 80s?
No.
It was called Clubland.
Oh, man.
And it was a nightclub. It was hip, man. Clubland. And so we went there. I went to Clubland like 3 or 4 times. That was like whenever I tried to go to a club, we'd go to Clubland because that's not my scene, as you know. But I was like, all right, my friends would be like, let's go to Clubland, pick up chicks. So one night we go to Clubland and they're there. The MTV is there and she's there. And they're like, they're doing auditions for people to be like a correspondent on their spring break coverage. And so they had people go backstage and be interviewed by her. So I went back and I was like, hey, and of course I didn't get it because I didn't care. I just wanted to meet her. Like, hey, and the question was, what would you do on spring break? What would you like to do on spring break? And I went back and I said, I don't know. I'm going to sleep a lot. She's like, thank you for coming. You know, and I clearly, but the person they chose like lifted her top and she was screaming. So that's why, you know, she won.
I was going to say, and that was the day that Nick DiGillio became the DJ on MTV for the summer.
That's right.
The only girl that has been texted in that has curly hair that hasn't already been previously mentioned is Carrie Wuerer.
No, Carrie Wuerer is not. That's not. Carrie Wuerer was on Remote Control. She was one of the hot chicks on Remote Control, and then she ended up doing VJ. I'm telling you, this woman existed, people. Wait a minute.
Are you sure it wasn't just a producer?
No, she was on. I'm telling you, she was a VJ. She was. And I'm looking at these. Okay, you got Abby Gannett, Adam Curry, Alan Hunter, Alexa Chung, Allison Stewart, Ananda Lewis. Nope, not her. I just clicked on her picture. It's not her. Ashley Simpson?
Yeah, she probably had a stint.
Andrew Datto, Bill Bell. Oh, I forgot about Bill Bellamy. I love Bill Bellamy. Brian McFadden, Carolyn Heldman. Wait a minute, maybe that's her. Oh, of course, there's no picture. Maybe it's Carolyn Heldman. Maybe that's who it is. But she's got no picture. I clicked on her name. What does she look like?
It looks like curly hair.
Yeah? Hold on, I'm going to look her up. Carolyn Heldman, right?
Yeah. It actually just pops up because I guess other people are also looking for her.
That's it. That's her. That's her. It's Carolyn Heldman. That's who it is, man. See, I told you. Yeah, Carolyn Heldman. She was on. She was the one that was at Clubland trying to get people from Chicago to act like a maniac so that they could go on spring break with MTV.
Oh, my God. She works for Aspen Public Radio now.
Yeah, that's her, man. I knew it, that this woman existed. Why is she the only one on the Wikipedia list that doesn't have a picture? Because they were trying to torture me?
She looks like, if you go to the Aspen Public Radio website, she looks like What's-Her-Face with from the Reality Bites soundtrack. What was her name with the glasses?
Oh,
she sang that song.
Yeah, the Ethan Hawke.
Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, she looks like Lisa Loeb.
I said she looks like Ethan Hawke.
I mean, that's a whole other situation. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, she looks like Lisa Loeb.
Okay, that's who was at Clubland. And that, I remember her, and I just didn't remember her name at all. So, anyway. All right, other things turning 35 this year. And by the way, if you want to jump in with your Wildcard Wednesday, it's 312-981-72. I can't believe is that sketch on Hulu? Mellow Show? Is it readily available?
I found just doing a quick search. So, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. All right. And let's see. 35 things turning 35. How about the first woman on the Supreme Court? Yeah.
About time.
Sandra Day O'Connor. I remember it was a big, big, big deal. It was September 25th, 1981. And up until that point, it had only been occupied by men. And fulfilling a campaign promise, President Reagan appointed Sandra Day O'Connor to the Senate. 99-0 vote, making her the first woman on the court. Yeah. And then that movie, First Monday in October, came out. That was the movie we were talking about some like 2 Mondays ago. First Monday in October. It was with Walter Matthau and Jill Clayburgh. And it came out like right around that time. It may have come out. Dan, can you look that up and see what the date release on that is? Because that may have come out like right at the same time. Because it was about a woman on the Supreme Court. And it was Walter Matthau and Jill Clayburgh. And it was called First Monday in October. And but it was right around the same time. And that was a real big deal. Especially if you can get Jill Clayburgh in your movie. You know, Jill Clayburgh, late 70s to around 1983, was in every movie ever made. So.
All right.
First Monday in October.
Released August 21st, 1981.
Right before that. Wow, timely. Came out a month before Sandra Day O'Connor was actually appointed. That's amazing. That's like, you know, you guys don't remember, this was also before your time. Have you guys ever seen the movie China Syndrome?
No.
No.
So, oh, you got to see this movie. You got to see this movie. Jack Lemmon, Michael Douglas, bearded, Jane Fonda at her hottest, and it's about a meltdown in a nuclear plant. And what happens when a news crew discovers this? And is there while it happens, and the conspiracy and the cover up of, you know, what's going on at this plant. Jack Lemmon, amazing in the movie, plays Jack Goodell, who is a senior advisor and technician at this nuclear plant, who wants to tell the truth about how unsafe the plant is and it could kill everybody. That movie came out, and 3 weeks later, Three Mile Island happened. Like 3 weeks later. And that movie was in the theaters at the time. I was in eighth grade when it came out. I vividly remember it, seeing it. And then, of course, because of that, the box office for that movie went through the roof. Like, you know, the people at Columbia Pictures are like, oh, thank God that happened. So
it sounds like the movies are predicting the future.
Well, that's what it was in the 80s. You know?
Also, Jane Fonda looks like a Barbie.
Jane Fonda is incredibly hot in that movie.
Her hair is very...
It's very red and very, very curly and wavy. Oh, my God. I remember, you know, going to see On Golden Pond. Now, have you guys seen On Golden Pond? Oh, there's a movie that's 35 years old. On Golden Pond. No, wait, maybe that came out in 82. But anyway, On Golden Pond, very lovely film. Have you guys seen it? Henry Fonda, Katherine Hepburn?
No.
Jane Fonda, the great Dabney Coleman, bearded. Great, great movie. Henry Fonda won an Oscar for it. So did Katherine Hepburn. It was the last Oscar that Henry Fonda won. He was right before he died. And it was a really big deal because Henry Fonda was in the movie with Jane Fonda and they'd had a big falling out. And the movie was about this troubled relationship that he has with the daughter. And it's a very lovely movie. It's based on a play, you know. But for me, the highlight of that movie was Jane Fonda in a bikini. I remember going, what is this? Just being like, oh, yeah, this is a really sweet, lovely, old-fashioned film. Whoa, wait a minute. Jane Fonda's in a bikini right now. What the hell's going on? I remember going to see California Suite, Neil Simon comedy from 1978, same year. By the way, as the China Syndrome. And there's Jane Fonda bikini scene in that. I'm 13 years old. I'm going, oh! What's going on with this Jane Fonda? Yeah. Bikini scenes in California Suite and On Golden Pond, man. Forget it. So, anyway. Hey, you know, the space shuttle, the actual space shuttle Columbia, it's the 35 years since the space shuttle program began. That's also on the list. All right, we got more stuff coming up here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7204, your wildcard Wednesday requests. And for your TV questions, Dan Feinberg is going to be with us tomorrow. So any TV questions that you have, we'll get them tonight and we'll ask them tomorrow. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man, wildcard Wednesday. Yeah. No idea what this is. Dixie requested it. It's Tim McGraw, Overrated, on Wild Card Wednesday. Never heard that in my life. But there you go, Dixie. It's odd that somebody named Dixie would request a Tim McGraw song. Dixie listens all the time. She calls in, too. She's great. Yeah, that's Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. All right, we're talking about 35 things that turn 35. All right, how about this one? The song Pac-Man Fever. Now, you guys don't remember Pac-Man. You guys never got a case of the Pac-Man Fever. Pac-Man was around when you guys were teenagers, right? And stuff? Did you play it?
Yeah, but I never got a fever.
You never got the Pac-Man Fever?
Did not. Sorry.
I'm telling you, man, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I still can't play that game.
I like Miss Pac-Man better.
I mean, either one. I can never get around those stupid ghosts.
Well, when they're ghosts, that's when you get them. When they're not ghosts.
Okay, when they're alive, then.
Oh, all right.
As whatever they are.
I don't know what they are. They're just like, no, what, they got names, I think. Don't they?
Blinky.
Blinky and Bloopy and Blippy.
Winky.
The 17th Street Blips.
That's who it is. It's those.
The 17th Street Blips.
Blinky, Inky, Pinky, and Clyde.
Right, Clyde. I remember there was a, yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Never let me through.
I know, because they're the 17th Street Blips. Pac-Man Fever was 1981, December 1981. At this point, people were spending millions of dollars in quarters on playing Pac-Man. Buckner and Garcia... I believe they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, aren't they? Buckner and Garcia. In 1982, the songwriting duo released a full-length album. Oh, God, that's right, they did. Because the song was a big hit. Pac-Man Fever, because it came out like Christmas time, 1981. So it was a big hit. So they released a whole album. And then the whole album was songs about video games. The entire album. There was a song about Frogger, Centipede, Donkey Kong, Asteroids, Defender. Every song on it was about a video game. You could do any. The 80s were so ridiculous. Do we have a little Pac-Man Fever, Dan? That's ridiculous. People bought that, by the way. People actually bought that voluntarily, like without a gun to their head. People went to a store, spent their hard-earned money on that. When did the Curly Shuffle came out? That was like right around that time, too. That was like in the 80s. Do you guys remember the Curly Shuffle? You don't. You guys are too young.
Who's Curly?
Don't.
From the Three Stooges?
Yes!
That's a weird... I mean, it's just a huge time gap.
Well, I know that the Stooges started in the 30s. I understand that.
Seems like a big jump from...
But when you said, who's Curly, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Well, I just didn't think it would be the Three Stooges, Curly.
Dan, can you look up when the Curly Shuffle came out? I want to say it was like an 82 or 83.
It's just like, whoa, finally, Curly gets his day.
Released when?
1983.
83. Another hit.
Is there a resurgence, or what prompted?
Well, there was never a downtime for the Stooges. I mean, the Stooges were,
yeah, but
You know, the Stooges have been legendary forever, you know? I don't know if there was a particular resurgence popularity in 1983, but they never left my life. I mean, the Three Stooges have been a major part of my life since my birth. You know? Why don't they write a song about Shemp? He's my favorite Stooge. Who did that song?
The novelty group Jumpin' the Saddle.
That's right. Suddenly we've turned into Dr. Demento this morning. Jumpin' the Saddle. Oh, man. Yeah, I want to get that whole album with all the other songs, the Frogger song. How the hell do you write an entire album dedicated to 80s video games? And only in the 80s would that sell. Good God. Hey, I believe that the next episode of the 80s documentary on CNN, which is fabulous, by the way, it's on Thursday nights on CNN. They did one for the 60s. No, they did one for the 50s, the 60s, 70s. Now they're doing the 80s. And I believe the next episode, Dan, if I'm not mistaken, the one that's on tomorrow night is called Video Killed the Radio Star. And I think it's about... videos, technology, taking over, you know, because it's covering a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Is there a video for the Curly Shuffle?
Yes, there is.
Oh, of course.
Yes, there is. I remember it being on Friday Night Videos. Because I used to watch Friday Night Videos because I didn't get MTV till 1985.
That show ruled.
Friday Night Videos was awesome. So, all right, we're going to talk about movies that are 35 years old. This year, one of which I'll be showing at my film club in June. So that's coming up, 35 things that turn 35 this year.
I'll never smoke weed with Willie again.
Okay. Glenn requested Toby Keith. This is Toby Keith. Toby Keith's I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again in honor of Willie Nelson's birthday later this week. Okay, here's my question, Glenn. Why didn't you request a Willie Nelson song? That's my main question, because I can't stand Toby Keith. But yeah, anyway, happy birthday to Willie Nelson. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about 35 things that turned 35 this year. And, you know, I saw Willie Nelson open for I've seen Willie Nelson a bunch of times, but I saw him open for Dave. He opened for Dave Matthews, and it was awesome. And then Willie Nelson came. Because, you know, there's this thing that they might have in common. Willie Nelson and Dave Matthews band. There's a thing they might have in common.
They both play guitar.
That's, no? Yeah. No, I think that there might be one more thing that they have in common. And let me just say this. When Willie came out for the encore, when Dave was on, he came out for the encore to join Dave on the song Bartender. Oh, no. Was it Bartender? No, Gravedigger. He came out to do Gravedigger with him. So he comes out and he was stoned when he came out. Because Willie Nelson, because Dave plays for like 2.5 hours. So, you know, by the time Willie was done with his set, I'm sure he went back and lit up 27 bongs. And by the time he came out to do the encore with Dave, he totally forgot the lyrics. He just kept going, Gravedigger, Gravedigger. <It's> like, he was complete. Hey, by the way, his son, because it was Willie Nelson and family, his son was unbelievable. He came out and did a solo set. I don't care remember what his son's name is. But he rocks, man. This guy was he rocked. Like, jammed. And I was so impressed with Willie Nelson's kid. He was amazing. And he opened up. He did his own set.
Lucas Nelson?
That's it. He is phenomenal, man. And then the Willie Nelson comes out. He does a set. Brings out the rest of the family. They do a set. Dave comes out, does a set. It was ridiculous, man. It was absolutely ridiculous, and it was at the Tweeter Center or whatever the hell it was called, the World or whatever. But I'm telling you, man, the weed was thick in the air that night. It was like me going to a concert when I was a kid in the 70s. In the 70s, you'd go to a concert and I'm not kidding. I started going to concerts when I was 10 years old, and I'm telling you, if they did a lung test on me at the age of 12, they would find more marijuana in an 11-year-old's lungs just from secondhand smoke. I'm not kidding. You go into these places, and it would be like John Carpenter's The Fog. You'd walk in there, and it was that thick, and it was all pot smoke. People would wonder why I was such a happy kid. Well, your son seems to be in a very good mood. Well, yeah, he's been high for 6 years. From the moment he saw Black Oak, Arkansas and Bad Company, he's been high. Blame it on the Chicago Stadium, the amphitheater, and the auditorium. That's the problem. Maybe they should get a better ventilation system. I remember going to hockey games at the stadium. My God, people. You know, you would have, especially if you were sitting up top, like in the second balcony at the old stadium, I'm telling you, man, you would have to wave the cigarette smoke. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I don't know how they played this. I don't know how they could breathe on the ice. I'm going to have to ask, you know, next time I see Tony O and Bobby Hull and those guys, I'm going to, how the hell did you guys breathe at that time? It was ridiculous. So, all right, we'll get back to this list, 35 things that turned 35. Got to tell you about what's happening later today in Northbrook. This is going to be awesome because Northbrook is the next stop for the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes broadcasts live from Pinstripes in Northbrook today from 3 to 7. And you'll have a chance to win prizes, including complimentary bocce and bowling. Also, half-price appetizers, pizza, and flatbreads, too. And we'll give away a pair of tickets that get you inside the auditorium theater. Oh, God, I just mentioned the auditorium as a place where everybody blows weed. Well, that's not going to be happening. 2016 NFL Draft will get you in there. You can visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. And again, that's later today in Northbrook at Pinstripes from 3 to 7, the Rokan Show. So there you go. All right. I noticed, Esmeralda, that you liked something on your page.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, Dan, I think you might be interested in this, too. Esmeralda, explain what you are interested in, an event that's taking place in Rosemont on October 14th of this year.
It's called I Love the 90s. Tour.
Yeah.
And it's got Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, with Spinderella.
With Spinderella.
Like they make it clear.
Absolutely right, because I wouldn't go if Spinderella wasn't going to be there.
Rob Bass.
Rob Bass rules, man.
Because didn't DJ Easy Rock pass away?
Yes, he did.
Recently? Coolio, Tone Loc, Color Me Bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I want to sex you up.
Ooh.
That fantastic. Those are the guys that Andy Samberg and JT patterned their two characters with Blank in a Box. They based him on, definitely Color Me Bad.
Yeah, and they've been touring around, actually. I wanted to go, they're supposed to be in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yeah.
I think at the end of this month or maybe a week or so ago. And then, or Bloomington, Indiana in July, I think.
Well, that's a hell of a lineup right there.
I know. Here's
the thing. Vanilla Ice should not be headlining. Salt and Pepper should headline.
I know.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Although that's good because then he'll probably do the one song and then I can leave.
Yeah, but he's going to headline. That means,
yeah,
you know,
he'll be at the end.
I know, but that's going to shorten Salt and Pepper's set.
That's true.
Unless they're given the same amount of time. They should be given the same. Well, I mean, Salt and Pepper's going to have a lot more hits than Vanilla Ice.
Or they're flipped around. Or they, you know, they like trade every show.
Yeah. Vanilla Ice had the Ice Ice Baby, and then he had the song from the Turtles, the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes.
The Ooze, or whatever that was. No, and then he had the movie Cool as Ice. Remember the movie Cool as Ice?
Yeah, I vaguely remember.
Oh, man.
I did have a Ice Ice Baby single.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, boy.
It had some other song on it that I enjoyed.
Yeah. And then Vanilla, remember when he went all industrial and punk? Remember that, like in the late 90s?
Mm-hmm. Now he's a contractor, I think.
No, he's got a TV show. Mm-hmm. He's a very successful contractor. He's also very funny. He was on those Surreal World shows or whatever the hell they were. And he's very funny. You remember the thing that he did when they had the bad videos that they retired on MTV?
Didn't he break something?
Yeah, he busted up the whole set.
He got all mad.
He had a baseball bat. He busted up the tape. Like, he smashed the videotape. Who was the, was John Stewart on that?
It was, and Janine Garofalo.
And Janine, that's right. Because they retired all the bad videos that they were never, ever going to play again.
Remember when Suge Knight dangled him from a balcony?
Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly.
Happened. Come on, it's Suge Knight.
You don't want Suge after you.
I think he's in prison again.
Yeah, he is in prison.
So, yeah. I'll talk all I want about
Suge
Knight.
Because if he wasn't in prison, he'd be after the guy who played him in Straight Outta Compton. There's no question about it. That dude who played me in Straight Outta Compton's going, I'm going to dangle him from a balcony. I'm going to dangle him from my cell before I go make license plates. Do you still make license plates in prison? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
No, they don't?
I don't know.
That used to be the thing. I mean, next thing you know, man, you're going to get in trouble. You'll be making license plates.
That's what they did in Crybaby.
Oh, that's right. In Crybaby, they did, yeah. But that was like an actual euphemism for going to jail. Man, that guy, instead of like up the river, you go, you're going to be making license plates. That was the euphemism. So, all right, what are we doing here? We have to break again. Anyway, I love the 90s. It's going to be October 14th. Salt and Pepper, most importantly, with Spinderella. Maybe on Vogue will show up.
Oh, could you imagine?
Wouldn't that be? I would lose my mind. My head would explode. Suddenly, they just start doing What a Man. I would just run up to the stage. Be fantastic. All right. We have to break here. When we come back, we have a list of movies that turned 35 this year. Oh, my God. I'm looking at the date that the first one turned. It's the date that we're showing the movie. That's insane. Wow. All right. Anyway, we got that coming up. 35 things that turned 35 in 2016. By the way, if you want to see that full list of all of the things that are turning 35 this year, everything that's on it, except Dan Shugrue's not on the list. He should have been. You can check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. It's from Mental Floss, and it's a very fun article. Yeah. I'm surprised this is online. Wow. Jill requested Cream by the one, the only Prince. Did you hear that his albums have sold $3.5 million? In the past 4 days?
That makes sense. I mean, people want to hear it, and if you can't find it.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, did you guys see D'Angelo's performance on Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, no.
No, I can't wait, though.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I watched it. He did Sometimes It Snows in April. It's unbelievably great. Oh, Prince. Oh, man. Damn it. This makes me so sad. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Okay, here are some movies that are turning 35 this year. Okay? Raiders of the Lost Ark, 35 years old. On June 12th, Raiders of the Lost Ark hit theaters. And oddly enough, I'm showing it on June 12th. It was scheduled. I don't know. Maybe that was done on purpose. Maybe Mike picked that date. I'm sure he knew it, right? He had to have known it. Can't be coincidence that on the exact day that the movie turns 35, we are screening it at my film club.
Because it's not the first Tuesday.
No, it's not. It's not. Is it? Well, maybe.
No, I mean, it'd have to be the 5th.
Yeah. The 5th would be the time that we would show it. But I'm almost positive we're showing it on the 12th.
And the only other thing was on the chance that the Blackhawks would.
That's probably what it was. That's why we pushed it to the 12th. Let's keep it there. I like the idea that it's the exact day of the anniversary. Raiders of the Lost Ark, by the way, will be my screening in June. But come out this Tuesday, May 3rd, for my May screening, which is a very important one. The most excited I've ever been about hosting a screening. Please come out and see Risky Business on the big screen. $10. Parking is free. Go to moviecode.com. Reserve your seats now. MUVICO. So Raiders turns 35. Here are some other movies that came out in 81 that turned 35 this year as well. And these are all movies that were released, Dan, the year of your birth. You know what movie came out the year of my birth? Sound of Music, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm 97 years old. Okay, you ready? Arthur came out in 1981. Remember when alcoholism was hilarious? You know, I saw that movie when I was, that movie came out, I was 16 years old when that movie came out. And I thought it was hysterical. And I loved Dudley Moore. Loved him. Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, loved them. And I loved 10. Didn't quite understand 10 when I first saw it. I thought there were a lot of funny sight gags in it, and he was funny, and he fell down a hill, and Bo Derek showed her boobs, and I was 15, and I was like, yeah. Now, 10 is seriously one of my favorite films of all time, and without question, the best movie ever made about turning middle-aged. Without that one and Sideways, neck and neck as the best movies ever made about being in your 40s. Ever. Judd Apatow should be tied to a chair and forced to watch 10 53 times in a row. Anyway, so I loved it, and then I went back and I watched it. I watched, like, Dudley, and this is a Nighthawks. By the way, speaking of Nighthawks, that came out in 1981. Not on the list. Why is Nighthawks not included on this list?
You're the only one who remembers it.
Yeah. Well, I Nighthawked Arthur, too. Not Arthur 2 on the Rocks, not the sequel. Do you remember who played Liza Minnelli's dad in Arthur? You guys don't remember. Dan, you weren't even... Esmeralda wasn't even born, and Dan was a zygote. I don't know. I can't remember the actor's name. I want to say it's Barney. But it's the guy who played Seinfeld's dad, Jerry Seinfeld's dad. On Seinfeld, he played Liza Minnelli's dad in Arthur. Did you know that guy Barney, whatever his name is, incredibly funny.
Barney Martin.
Okay, Barney Martin played Jerry's dad on Seinfeld. But did you know that he's not the first actor to play Jerry's dad? First season that they introduced his parents, it was a different actor. It was. I can't remember the actor's name, but he played him on the first season that they debuted Jerry's parents. It wasn't Barney Martin. Barney Martin took over the second season that they debuted their parents. But I went back and watched Arthur again. It's not funny. It's not funny.
Philip Burns.
That's him. Clash of the Titans. The original Clash of the Titans came out in 1981. Here's a quick memory for you, Dan. I listen to Roy Leonard every morning, every Saturday morning. I listen to Roy Leonard. One Saturday morning, I'm listening to it, and he did what he called Saturday Morning at the Movies, where he would play like a clip from a movie or a song from a movie, and you'd call in, and you know if you were the right answer, you've got the right answer, then you know how phone contests work on a radio station.
First time I'm hearing such things.
I was trying to explain how a phone contest on a radio station works to my producer. He played the final speech that Laurence Olivier gives at the end of Clash of the Titans. And he said the first word, and I called, and I got in. And I won the soundtrack to Clash of the Titans and tickets to King Richard's Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Which now, Esmeralda, King Richard's Fair is now the Bristol Renaissance Fair.
Oh, man.
So it's a Ren Fair. But it used to be called...
Did you dress up?
I'm sorry?
Did you dress up?
No. I hated it. I remember going, and even when I was 16, I was like, what? Shut up. Get away from me. And then when I became an actor and a performer, and I got to know people who do Ren Fairs, just needed to be punched right in the face. Because they never drop character. It's like, dude, you know what? You're on Russell Road in Wisconsin, okay? There are no moats here. There are no dragons or castles. There's a Stuckey's about a mile and a half away from here. No, I don't want to drink sassafras and mead. Thank you. I remember going there. You couldn't get a Coke. Like, I'm 15. I'm like, why the hell do I want? What am I? What is this? Oh, thou must drink a Coketh. Not a Coketh, you know, or whatever the hell it is. All right, we have to break. All right, we got more movies that are 35 years old this year that we're talking about. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. All right. Nick DiGilio here on Wild Card Wednesday. Trucker Rich requested He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother by the Hollies. He'd like to dedicate it to all his fellow veterans. There you go. All right, Trucker Rich. And welcome back, everyone. We're talking about 35 things that turned 35 this year. And we were talking about movies. Escape from New York. Oh, my God. Escape from New York turns 35 this year. I am old. For Your Eyes Only, the Bond movie, that turns 35. History of the World Part 1, Mel Brooks, turns 35. Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. Well, technically not in America. Came out in 1982 in America. Now, if we were Australian, it would have been a 1981 release. But it didn't come here until 1982. So I won't celebrate the 35th anniversary of The Road Warrior till next year, although I celebrate all things Mad Max daily. My Dinner with Andre came out in 1981. Superman 2. You know what I always thought funny about Superman 2? Dan, you've obviously seen Superman 2, and I would imagine multiple times.
Not multiple times, but I remember it, yes.
Okay. I love Superman 2. It's one of my favorite comic book movies. It was my favorite comic book movie until Spider-Man 2 came out, and I know you don't like the Spider-Man Raimi movies, which I just am baffled by. Do you have a what's your favorite comic book movie, Dan?
The Avengers.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it best represented everything I had experienced up until the point it became too cool.
Now, you got to be looking forward to Civil War.
Well, yeah, indeed, yes.
Looks good, man. Anyway, Superman 2, here's my thing. At the end of the movie, when they're in Times Square or whatever they call it, Metropolis Village, whatever they call it in the movie, even though it's New York, it's Times Square, and they're fighting the three criminals, the three aliens, General Zod and the other two, and they start whipping manhole covers. Have you seen Superman 2, Esmeralda?
No.
Okay, they start whipping manhole covers at each other, and you know, like one guy can go and with his cheeks and blow like 4,000-mile-an-hour wind out of his face and knock people over and stuff. Well, at one point in the movie, there's a guy walking down the street with an umbrella, and he's just trying to walk. And they keep cutting to him for like a wacky sight gag of this poor guy's umbrella. He's being blown down the street. He's got an umbrella, and it keeps turning inside out and stuff.
Silly, silly man.
Completely silly. And then the other silly thing is there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken in the Times Square. And now they've been they've been whipping cars at each other right in the middle of Times Square. They're throwing cars, manhole covers, throwing Superman is whipping guys into the big neon Coca-Cola sign in the middle of Times Square. He flies right through that. Stuff's exploding. Buildings, buses are flipping. And people are just walking out of Kentucky Fried Chicken with like a bucket of chicken. Just like, la-di-da-di-da. They've been fighting for 15 minutes. They don't care because they just got their bucket of chicken. And I just remember people like, how do you not hear the complete destruction that's happening right outside the window of the KFC? And you just blah, blah, blah. And then they're all surprised when the chicken goes flying. You know, they're like, oh, and then they go, they're flying. And then if I remember this, you want to date this thing. This movie was shot in 78, 79, and 80 because, you know, Richard Donner was the original director on this, and then Richard Lester took over, and there is Richard Donner's cut of Superman 2, which is better than the Lester cut, even though the Lester cut is good. So anyway, there's another guy, Dan, I don't know if you remember this, because it's 1980 when they shot it, it was cool to have a dude on roller skates. It was a black dude. It was a black dude on roller skates with like colorful. I think he had colorful suspenders on.
Did he have headphones on, like the big ones?
You know what? I don't. He might have. I have no idea. But they kept cutting back to him going, "Oh," because the wind is blowing and he's rolling down the street involuntarily. Oh,
he's probably get some good speed on those skates.
I just think, yeah. And I didn't, you know, when you're 15 and you see the movie, you're like, "Haha, that's funny." You know, you watch it as an adult, you're like, "What the hell's going on?" You got a guy with an umbrella blowing down the street, the dude on the roller skates flying down the street, and people just coming out of the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and their chicken goes flying.
Hey, they're just living their lives.
Just
living their lives. They got to eat.
Yeah, I know. They're apparently so incredibly hungry that they don't even hear the massive amounts of destruction that's
well,
happening.
You know, Superman's there all the time.
And then their chicken goes flying.
They get mad. They got their 16-piece bucket.
They get mad, and the chicken went flying, hit the guy with the umbrella. The umbrella guy smashed into the roller skating dude.
They're not going to get a refund. You have to go back and pay full price for another bucket.
I know, they're so
Come
mad.
On.
I guess they had like a soundproof door on that KFC or something. Like you can't hear the massive destruction and cars blowing up and people flying around and manhole covers being whipped. It's like, all right, I'll see you later. Ding, ding. They open the door. Wait a minute, what was going on out here?
I mean, if you're hungry enough, you don't care what's going on around you.
I guess not. I'm just assuming, because wouldn't you look out the window if, like, a car goes flying past the front of a KFC? Wouldn't you go, hey, did a car just go flying?
Maybe it's a double, one of those double-sided windows. Or
yeah, it was tinted. You can't see out. You can't hear.
Yeah.
They open the door, the whole, all of Times Square is destroyed, and your chicken goes flying through the air. That's a terrible Tuesday. I was come so hungry. I was just going to bring my chicken home, and I was going to watch MASH. And now my chicken went flying, and it hit some dude on roller skates.
You're having such a bad day.
What's going on? What happened to the Coke sign? Who smashed the Coke sign here in the middle of Times Square? I still love that movie though. Time Bandits turns 35 this year, and Stripes turns 35. A movie that I showed at my film club last year.
Oh.
Yes, last August. All right, let's see. What else is 35? Lady Diana and Prince Charles got married 35 years ago, and it was July 29th, 1981, and if I remember correctly.
Did you stay up and watch?
I did not, because I don't care.
But it was such a beautiful wedding.
I just don't care.
It's a beautiful dress.
I'm one of these people, honest to God, I'm one of these people, I do not understand America's fascination with the royal family. I just don't get
they're
it.
They're so pretty.
Oh, yeah. Prince Charles is, yeah, he's...
Well, look out,
Ryan Gosling. Prince Charles is here.
Princess Diana was pretty, though.
She was pretty, yeah. But
and her big old dress. And
but I
because
just
it's
don't,
that whole thing of princesses.
I
and,
know.
At least girls. They grow up with that whole story, fairy tale thing. So
I know. It was billed as the wedding of the century. There's an entire Wikipedia article that's dedicated to the guest list alone because it was so enormous.
Oh, wow.
So, all right. The Reagan presidency started January of 1981. Another film, Chariots of Fire, turned 35 years this year.
Your favorite.
The movie that should not have won that year. Because Reds was out that year. All right. This is an interesting one. The first official report of AIDS was in 1981. Although it didn't have an official name yet, the first clinical observation of AIDS occurred in the United States in 1981. Doctors found a set of cases of gay men who developed a rare form of pneumonia, indicating that the patients had compromised immune systems. Shortly after, a small cluster of rare cancers appeared, confirming that something was very wrong. And the U.S. Centers for Disease Control assembled a task force to monitor the outbreak, which developed the name AIDS in late 1982. If you have not seen the movie, and I really highly recommend it, if you have not seen the HBO movie and the band played on, I cannot recommend it highly enough. It is, to this day, by far the best movie that HBO has ever made. And it was really in the early days of that movie. The movie was made in 93. So it was like in the early days of HBO made for TV movies. You would not believe the cast of this movie. I don't have time to go through the people that are in it. It's insane. It's insane, the cast of this movie, like the stars and the actors, actresses, people who are in it. It's compelling. It's amazing. It's an incredible movie about the AIDS outbreak. And this team that the CDC put together. It's an incredible movie. Matthew Modine is the lead in it. It's amazing. It's called And the Band Played On. How about this one? The first American test tube baby. 1981. I thought it was earlier than that. Why did I think it was earlier than 1981?
It does say that it is the first American. The first overall was
born. In 1978 in Britain in 1970. But the first American test tube baby was December 28th. How about we're going back to video games? Born on July 9th, 1981, Donkey Kong.
Oh yay!
Now, do you know that? I don't know if this is true or not, but the story is that the reason why it's called Donkey Kong is because there was a mistake in the translation when they were printing up the logos and making the machines, because it was supposed to be called Monkey Kong.
I mean, that makes... I mean, Donkey can't let...
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
But that's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true. I think we have to go to Snopes to find out if that's true or not. But I had heard that there was a mistake, like in the lettering or something, and they manufactured like thousands of Donkey Kong games, and then they went, "Well, we can't change it back to Monkey Kong."
I've never even thought about the fact that Donkey Kong.
No, it's ridiculous.
Like that's not. It's a monkey.
It's monkeys and barrels and Italian guys.
Really, but...
It's a monkey and a barrel, a girl and an Italian guy.
No donkeys
at all. So I don't know if that's true, though. We might have to check that out. But that's what I've heard. It was a rumor that I've heard for a while. So
yeah.
All right, more things that are 35 this year, if you want to feel old. How about this one real quick before we break? Metallica is 35 years old.
How old were they when they started?
Young. Yeah, they were like 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 17, 18, 19. Yeah. So they were young. Metallica. Incredible. Yeah, man. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Mahavishnu Orchestra's Vital Transformation. The 262 area code. My guess is that the guy who requested, and I'm guessing it's a guy who requested that, enjoys to play the guitar. That's my guess. But it's Wild Card Wednesday, man. Anything's wild. Now, before the break, we've been talking about 35 things that turn 35 this year, including my producer, Dan Shagru. In November, he'll be 35. One of those things is Donkey Kong. And I brought up this rumor or old wives' tale story about the fact that it was supposed to be called Monkey Kong, but they made a mistake in translation, and the M became a D. And that's why it's Donkey Kong, even though there are no donkeys at all.
Well, it's really his first name.
Donkey is his first name. I don't know. Well, Dan, did you look it up?
Esmeralda's not that far off.
Right?
Shigeru Miyamoto, the game's inventor, has stated that he used the word donkey to convey a sense of stubbornness and the name Kong to invoke the image of a gorilla.
Oh, so it's that rumor is wrong. So that's why they intentionally named him Donkey. He's a stubborn gorilla.
He is.
He keeps whipping barrels at people and killing people. Doesn't he kill the Italian guy in that? If you lose, you're a dead Italian.
If you play right, you don't. But
right. What if your legs are sore that day? You can't jump.
Well, one, Donkey just doesn't want people in his house.
Well, he's got the chick. He's got the Italian's girlfriend. Isn't that the Italian guy's girlfriend?
Hey, maybe she wanted to come over, and Mario's all mad.
Which one is he? Luigi. What's the other one's name?
Mario.
Oh, Mario. How do I not know the other one's name? How do I not?
Super Mario Brothers?
Of Super Mario Brothers. How do I not know that? It's a Luigi and a Mario.
You like the underdog. You like Luigi.
God, yeah. Played by John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins.
Oh, that movie.
Good God. I took a date to see that movie. Turned out just as well as Dead Ringers.
You're not too good at that. No,
I'm not too good at things involving the opposite sex, Esmeralda. Really? You're just finding this out?
I was just going to say picky movies you both want to see. But.
All right, here's something that started 35 years ago, and I really hope that everybody's happy about it. Phil Collins' solo career.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you know that there's a Phil Collins song featured in the movie Risky Business? Are you aware of that?
No.
The song In the Air Tonight is featured in the movie Risky. Hey, do you know where you can see the movie Risky Business with me hosting?
What?
Why, you can see it at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont Tuesday, May 3rd at 8 o'clock. It's going to be great.
Now, it must be so much money to go.
It's only $10. Thank you for asking, Esmeralda. And you, how much do you think parking is?
I don't know. A lot.
Free.
What?
It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to be hungry.
Well, you know... can get food there at Bogart's.
Yes. Like popcorn?
No, all kinds of dinners.
Oh, man.
And you can eat the stuff in the theater.
Well, I know what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, they're all going to go see Risky Business, and I will be talking about the movie afterwards, about how great it is. So anyway, Phil Collins' solo career began in 1981. This is amazing. The Beastie Boys.
They started in 81?
It started in 81. Mm-hmm. Their first EP came out. It was just called the Beastie Boys. And then it wasn't until a couple of years later that their whole the License to Ill thing took off for them. Paintball began in 1981.
Really?
Yeah.
Thought that would be much later.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah, it does. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Didn't. Yeah, I thought that was a 90s thing.
Yeah.
Late 90s.
The longest pro baseball game in history. On April 18th, the minor league baseball team, Pawtucket Red Sox, the Rochester Red Wings, it started, and it didn't end until June 23rd.
Wait, what? Must have been
the,
tired.
The famous game ran until 4:09 on its first day, tied 2-2 after 2-2 after 32 agonizing innings. On June 23rd, the 33rd inning started, and they took the Red Sox took the game, winning 3-2. In all, the game ran for 8 hours and 25 minutes, making it the longest pro ball game ever. And by the way, for a fun little fact, both Cal Ripken Jr. and Wade Boggs played in that game. Wow. And the most important sports 35th anniversary, Ric Flair's first World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. When, Ric Flair.
Woo!
Ric Flair's first World Wrestling Heavyweight Championship, September 17th, 1981, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
Wait, when?
September 17th, 1981.
And when's Dan's birthday?
November.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. Oh, that's the wrong.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Woo!
Yeah. And it's September 17th. So that was it. And it was he defeated Dusty Rhodes in Kansas City, and then their feud would go on for years.
Oh, no.
Woo!
Hey, let's find out what's happening on the opening bell this morning with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Good
morning.
Yeah, my favorite thing in 1981, the space shuttle. You guys already talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's when it started, yep.
I had chicken pox that week, so I got to stay home and watch the whole thing. I think that's what made me a space geek.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, because back then they were wall-to-wall coverage. It was just they didn't bother interrupting stuff on television, and they just carried everything live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The good old days.
Yep.
We'll tell you all about it coming up on the opening bell.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, Steve. Let's talk about some of the other people that turned 35 this year, along with Dan, really quickly. Elijah Wood. Oh, Frodo.
Oh.
Little Frodo turns 35 this year. I wonder how old his hairy feet will be. Joseph Gordon-Levitt turns 35 this year. Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm. Julia Stiles. Whatever happened to Julia Stiles? Oh, she's in the new Bourne movie.
Yeah.
That movie looks good. Have you seen the trailer for it?
Yeah, I've seen him beating people up.
And it looks good. Amy Schumer, Natalie Portman, Chris Evans. Oh, Captain America.
Oh.
Turns 35 this year. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Wherever he is.
He turned 35. He didn't get killed by his parents when they found the bag of pot. All right. Esmeralda, I will see you tomorrow.
Yes.
It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye.
And we'll return after this.